An anonymous van, some kind of pale, cruised Summit Avenue, windows dark with the coming night. The killers inside watched three teenagers, two boys and a girl, hurrying along the sidewalk like wind-blown leaves. The kids were getting somewhere quick, finding shelter before the storm. The killers trailed them, saw them off, then turned their faces toward Oak Walk. The mansion was an architectural remnant of the 19th century, red brick with green trim, gloomy and looming in the dying light. Along the wrought iron fence, well-tended beds of blue and yellow iris and clumps of pink peonies were going gray to the eye. Oak Walk was perched on a bluff. The back of the house looked across the lights of St. Paul, down into the valley of the Mississippi, where the groove of the river had already gone dark. The front faced Summit Avenue. Oak Walk was the second richest house on the richest street in town. Six aging bur oaks covered the side yard. In sunlight, their canopies created a leafy glade with sundials and flagstone walks, charming with moss and violets. But moon shadows gave the yard a menacing aura, now heightened by the lightning that flickered through the incoming clouds. "Like the Munsters should live there," the bigger of the killers said.
"Like a graveyard," the little one agreed.
On the fourth pass, the van turned into the driveway, eased up under the portico, and the killers waited there for a porch light. No light came on. That was good. They got out of the van, one big, one little, stood there for a moment, listening, obscure in the shadows, facing the huge front doors. They were wearing coveralls, of the kind worn by automotive mechanics, and hairnets and nylon stockings over their faces. Behind them, the van's engine ticked as it cooled. A Wisconsin license plate, stolen from a similar vehicle in a 3M parking lot, was stuck on the back of the van. Big said, "Let's do it." Little led the way up the porch steps. After a last quick look around, Big nodded again, and Little pushed the doorbell. They'd done this before. They were good at it. They could feel the footsteps on the wooden floors inside the house. "Ready?" said Big. A moment later, one of the doors opened. A shaft of light cracked across the porch, flashing on Little's burgundy jacket. Little said a few words.
"Ms. Peebles, is this where the party is?"
A slender black woman, 60-ish, Peebles, said,
"Why, no."
Her jaw continued to work wordlessly, searching for a scream as she took in the distorted faces. Little was looking past her at an empty hallway. The groundskeeper and the cook were home, snug in bed. This polite inquiry at the door was a last-minute check to make sure that there were no unexpected guests. Seeing no one, Little stepped back and snapped, "Go!" Big went through the door fast, one arm flashing in the interior light. Big was carrying a 2-foot-long steel gas pipe with gaffer tape wrapped around the handle end. Peebles didn't scream because she didn't have time. Her eyes widened, her mouth dropped open, one hand started up, and then Big hit her on the crown of her head, crushing her skull. The old woman dropped like a sack of bones. Big hit her again as insurance, and then a third time as insurance on the insurance. 3 heavy floor-shaking impacts. Whack, whack, whack. Then a voice from up the stairs, tentative, shaky.
"Sugar? Who was it, Sugar?"
Big's head turned toward the stairs, and Little could hear him breathing. Big slipped out of his loafers and hurried up the stairs in his stocking feet, a man on the hunt. Little stepped up the hall, grabbed a corner of a 7-foot-long Persian carpet, and dragged it back to the black woman's body. And from upstairs, 3 more impacts, a gasping, thready scream, and whack, whack, whack. Little smiled. Murder. And the insurance. Little stooped, caught the sleeve of Peebles's house coat, and rolled her onto the carpet. Breathing a little harder, Little began dragging the carpet toward an interior hallway that ran down to the kitchen, where it'd be out of sight of any of the windows. A pencil-thin line of blood, like a slug's trail, tracked the rug across the hardwood floor. Peebles' face had gone slack. Her eyes were still open, the eyeballs rolled up, white against her black face. Too bad about the rug, Little thought. Chinese, the original dark blue gone pale, maybe 1890. Not a great rug, but a good one. Of course, it'd need a good cleaning now, with the blood puddle under Peebles's head. She had it around her neck. He opened his fist. His hands were covered with latex kitchen gloves to show off a diamond the size of a quail's egg.
Is it real?
It's real, and it's blue. We're not talking Boxsters anymore. We're talking SLs. Big opened the box. There's more. Earrings. A necklace. There could be 500,000 right here.